Hi there, thanks for joining us for the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. The team this week is Bruce Millington, Keith Melrose, Paddy Powers, Frank the Tank Hickey, and I'm delighted to say a warm welcome back after far too long away from the postcasts, the great Paul Keighley. Here's what we've got coming up: for superb races at Cheltenham, including the International Hurdle and the return over obstacles of Goshen. Really looking forward to hearing what the lads have got to say about his chances. We've also got three races on ITV4 from Doncaster, and we'll get the rest of the Saturday tips. Now, for once, we've been spoilt with so many great Sundays. We don't have a massive Sunday this week, but that's absolutely fine. Like I say, we've been spoilt. They've done a great job improving the quality of the Sundays, so we don't mind the odd quiet one. But hopefully the lads have also got some Sunday bets for us. Okay, then, let's start with Cheltenham. And before we get the tips, Keels, you're our resident weatherman. What are you expecting the terrain to be like?
I actually thought when I watched the first race on Friday, I thought it was pretty slow, but the time wasn't that bad. So, and I don't think there's any more rain. Soft in places probably sounds about right.
Okay, no rain forecast?
No, not really. You know, spits and spots, but nothing of any real amounts.
Right then, they really are crackers, these Cheltenham races, starting with 150. They're all on ITV4. This is the Caspian Caviar Gold Cup. Plenty of runners, hopefully some extra each way. Frank, what's the latest from Paddy Power?
Yeah, we're going six places, Bruce, so giving everyone a fair chance there. At the moment, we can't split Al Dancer and Master Tommy Tucker, both 6-1. CPage 13-2, Windsor Avenue. Cool Cody 8-1. Midnight Shadow 10-1, along with Chatham Street Lad. Saint Sonnet 11-1, and we're 12-1 back.
Excellent. Thank you, Frank. Keith, how is your form going into an excellent weekend? Looking forward to it?
Absolutely. Form over the winter hasn't been great, but last weekend was probably my best weekend of the winter so far, so there's always that bit of hope. This race is extremely competitive, and obviously you're going to get extra place offers as well. That being the case, look, now I watched Master Tommy Tucker smashing Good Boy Bobby at Haydock, and you know, that was the day it all came together for Master Tommy Tucker. We know he's very, very talented. I just feel like this horse isn't going to fancy a big field handicap the way that Good Boy Bobby will, in my head. He's a prominent racer. He jumps well. He travels really strongly. Just think he's going to be absolutely made for a big handicap like this Good Boy Bobby. And he's actually, on the form he achieved when he was second to Mr. Fisher at this meeting last year, he's one of the best handicapped in the race. So you can get a bit of 14, there's some 16s, you can get a lot of 14s still at the moment. I think an each way bet on Good Boy Bobby is definitely one I'll be having.
Excellent, thank you very much. Keith, Keels, who do you like here?
I totally agree with Keith about Master Tommy Tucker. I don't, you know, he's a high enough handicap mark for what he's done in small fields, really. In this big field, there's going to be a lot of pace up front. So I can't have him. I think as a second season handicapper as well, handicapped, it has to be Windsor Avenue. He ran a really good level to a couple of times last season before losing his form a little bit, but he came back after a wind up, ran second to Imperial Aura at Carlisle in that good Colin Parker Memorial, which is often quite informative. He was only beaten 2.5 lengths. He was getting £5, but he should have been getting 9 if it was a handicap. Handicapper left him on the same mark. Obviously, Imperial Aura's gone and won a Grade 2 since and is now rated in the 160s and just about Ryanair favourite. So I think he's potentially well handicapped. And I've thrown a few quid at a rag. Benatar. Seems like he's been around for ages, but he's only 8. He was a Grade 2 winner as a novice three seasons ago. And actually, last time we saw him, he was favourite in receipt of just £1 from Surname at Ascot. He finished tailed off. Surname's become a superstar since then. But the handicap has given him £7 for his absence. So he's down to a mark of 142, which is what he won his first ever chase off at Ascot. And I think he's got talent. Gary Moore's been among the winners. And I think he's got a fair shot at a big price each way.
Thank you very much. So Keith is going for Good Boy Bobby. Keels is going in for his main bet, Windsor Avenue, but also likes a little bit on the side of Benatar. Frank, how are you this week, mate? You seeing it nice and big?
Yeah, good form. I'd agree with the lads on Master Tommy Tucker. Like, his mark is harsh enough, and I'd agree with the big field angle. I just don't think it'll suit him. Like, he's 9 rising 10, a mark of 157. Yeah, wouldn't be for me. You can just see him Clouton won at some stage and fallen away from there. I could definitely see the case for the two horses the lads have put up, but I'm just going to give another chance to Saint Sonnet. I didn't think he ran too bad in the Paddy Power itself. Like, he was going well enough behind Cool Cody when he waxed the third last, and it just knocked the wind out of him. And, you know, he finished very tamely then until he fell at the last. But if you go back and look at Nicol's record in the race, he's won this four times in the last 10 years. And Pocklin was fifth in the Paddy Power before Guiana winning this. Union East ran a novice chase, so he doesn't really count. But Frodon was well beaten in the Paddy Power and then came back and won this in 2016. And then 2018, Frodon was second in the Paddy Power and then won this race. So I think I wouldn't be completely writing off Saint Sonnet on the back of a disappointing run. He's only a 5-year-old. I think he could be improving. Tongue tie goes on. On jockey bookings, he is third string. I just thought there was enough in there to give him another chance. I think we're 11-1. There's 14-1 out there. Wouldn't be surprised if we got a tick or two bigger even this evening. And I'll have a few quid with him.
Okay, Keith, before we wrap up on this race, Frank mentioned obviously that, you know, there is a relationship between the Paddy Power and this race, and, you know, there's similar conditions at similar time, and one is, you know, there's often a lot of commonality in the fields. Have you ever studied the kind of relationship between the two? And more specifically, Cool Cody, who won the Paddy Power, if he comes and wins this, do people not just say, well, that was kind of obvious, or has the handicapper, you know, done enough to prevent that happening, do you think?
My view is that Cool Cody more or less nicked the Paddy Power. He got a tremendous ride to win it, and he's £6 higher now. So I think he has to improve if he is going to win this as well. I did crunch the numbers a little bit on this race and the Paddy Power and all the big 2.5 mile sort of Cheltenham handicaps through the winter. And what you do see is from the Paddy Power, it dips down and it hits the crater on New Year's Day, and then it gets more competitive as you get back towards the festival. And by the time you get to the festival, it's basically as hard a race as the Paddy Power on terms of how high you have to run above your mark in order to make the first four. So this is, to the tune of about £2, I think, a less competitive race than the Paddy Power. And that is something to bear in mind. You know, that these horses that you might think are a bit exposed, it is just a little bit of an easier race than the Paddy Power is.
Excellent. I'm glad I came to you for that. Really good info there. Let's move on to the 2:25 at Cheltenham on Saturday. It's the Albert Bartlett Novices Hurdle. We've got 8 runners and it's very competitive. Frank, what's the latest show from Paddy's?
Ashtown Lad, 11-4 favourite at the moment. Danny Kerwin, 3-1. Ask a Honeybee, 9-2. Winhouse, 9-2. Make Good, 6-1. Took the Lot, 8-1. And Martens Bar.
Keels, you confident on this one?
I wouldn't say confident. I do think Ashtown Lad's probably a reasonable price favourite, around about 11-4. He was very impressive last time at Uttoxeter. And I know the stewards had a second in for the riding after the last, but I don't think he was ever going to be any danger to it. Duke de Beauchesne, and he's quite a useful horse. And I thought Ashtown Lad just did it really, really well. And, you know, if it hadn't been a handicap, if it had been a decent novice, he'd probably be a bit shorter, but he's come the handicap route. But you know what I mean. Harry won this from being a handicapper as well, before going on to win the Albert Bartlett. I think this is quite a decent horse, and I think he's the right fav.
Thank you very much. Frank, who's your selection going to be?
Yeah, it's an interesting race. Ask a Honeybee beat Ashtown Lad earlier in the season at Weatherby over short, over extended 2 miles, 3 furlongs. They're probably closely matched, really. Ashtown Lad was only winning off 123, as impressive as he was. I'm going to take a chance on a bit of a price here. Nigel Twiston Davis has quite a good record in the race in the last 6 years. He's won it 3 times and had the second and the third as well. And I thought Took the Lot might be worth taking a chance, and at the price, 10-11-1 out there. He won on bumper debut at Stratford, disappoints a little bit, and then there's 2 further bumper starts. But that was second at Fontwell, over 2 miles, 3, and then bolted up in 2 races at Bangor. Like the bare form, he needs a bit more, but I think he can improve for the step up to 3 miles. Like on the ratings, he's rated 130, and he's only like about 4 or 5 pounds behind Ashtown Lad. He doesn't have that much improvements to make to get competitive here. I just thought at the prices, considering Twiston Davis' record in the race, he was worth taking a chance on.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. Frank and Keith, who are you going to go for?
I don't have a massively strong view in the race, but a bit like Frank, I thought I might take a look at one at a bigger price. And Pat's Fancy was one that came out to me a little bit. He won at Foss last time. And, you know, he had, on ratings, he's maybe got another £9-10 to find on that, but he did it pretty easily. I thought Sean Bowen was only asking for the bare minimum of what he needed to win that race. The horse can definitely come on for that. It was his first run over hurdles. He has run a few times in points. He's very much the sort of horse that's going to be a three-miler, so stepping up in trip won't be an issue. Just had more going for him than your average 10-1 shot in a race like this. And I think that if he was trained by somebody other than Rebecca Curtis, if he was trained by one of the biggest yards, he'd be quite a bit shorter.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's move on to what for me and for most people, I'm sure, will be the highlight of Saturday. It's the 3 o'clock competitive, informative. It's the Unibet International Hurdle over 2 miles and 1 furlong. Decent sized field. Goshen heads the market, Frank. And before you run us through the prices, it's another chance to become a millionaire, isn't it?
Yeah, so basically go to your account, opt in and back the winner in this race and you qualify for the draw to be in with a chance to win £1 million on New Year's Day. Yeah, so very exciting. But yeah, really interesting race. We've Goshen 2-1 at the moment. So Royale 5-1 along with Song for Someone. Silver Streak 13-2, Chitabello 15-2, Ballyandy 9-1, and we're 12-1 back.
And Frank, you can go first when it comes to trying to solve the puzzle.
Yeah, like when I started out pricing the race, I was trying to, you know, I was kind of looking for an angle to get Goshen beaten. And basically, the more I looked at it, the more I felt that if he was coming in here without the two runs on the flat, there's every chance he'd be about an even money shot. Like, Soreal tops the ratings at 158, and they're all within kind of 4 or 5 pounds of each other. But there's no other horse in the race, really, that you think could rate 165 plus at the end of the year, bar Goshen. And when you go back to that Triumph Hurdle run, he was going to be wildly impressive only for that mishap at the last. And the form just looks a lot better now, considering Aspire Tower turned over Abcadabra Up and Down Royal, and All Mankind's won the Grade 1 Novice Chase last week. And Goshen was going to beat them at least 10 lengths. If he's anywhere near that form, I just think he's a bit of value, even at 2-1. I think, like, you know, he could be 6-4 shots tomorrow.
Are you happy to kind of overlook those flat runs? Because they were disappointing. I know that Gary Moore said that the horse was tubby and that, you know, it wasn't the end of the world. And he's been much more bullish this week, hasn't he? So you're prepared to just bet without those, are you?
Well, like, it wasn't like he was running off 64 in, you know, class 4 handicaps. He was running off a mark of 88. They weren't, you know, terrible races. Like, he was disappointing, but, like, he still ran okay. You know, it wasn't like, you know, I suppose we were just expecting to blitz those fields again. Like, just purely on his hurdles form, I think you have to forgive the flat runs a bit, and until he disappoints over hurdles, maybe then we could be a bit more critical of him.
But I hope you're right, Frank, because I think this jump season could really be lit up by a fully firing Goshen. Keith, this does all revolve around the favourite. What's your view of his chances?
Well, I've actually decided to take the favourite out of my calculations to a large extent for this race. Just a horse, I can't form that opinion. It's very rare we get a race like this, a 2 mile hurdle race before the champion that has a decent each way look to it. They all end up piddly little fields that you can't really get tucked into in that regard. And I just thought Chitabello each way was a really boring but natural bet for this sort of race. You know, last year he was third. He was the best horse in the weights because he carried a penalty last year, having won the county hurdle. And this year he doesn't carry any penalties because he hasn't won since. I thought the last year's race, it was very steadily run and that didn't suit him. I think a well-run 2 miles is what he wants. And I thought he should have won last time as well, over 2.5. He just let Somerville Boy, who's a stronger stayer, get rolling before trying to reel him in. So I think he's in his form as good as he can get, and at 15-2-ish, you can get a decent go at three places.
Excellent. Keels and I are just reeling from back and horse each way with six places that finished seventh. But let's move on from that, Keels. Who do you fancy in the international hurdle?
Yeah, I agree with most of what Frank said about Goshen. I mean, if he hadn't run those two flat races, he would be shorter. But then he did run those two flat races, and okay, he was running off a mark of, you know, 88, which is a fairly high mark, but if you expect him to be a 165 hurdler, then 88 should be easily within his capabilities. So I'm still jury's out with him. And, you know, while these are largely what we call second tier hurdlers, and you can imagine a couple of them running in the champion hurdle, but not really winning it. There's one other horse that could be really improving in the race, and that is Song for Someone, who skipped over his hurdles at Ascot last time. And, you know, although you could pick holes in that form with Lorena bleeding again and being retired, he absolutely thrashed Call Me Lord, who won this race last year, remember? So I think that's solid form. He might want a bit further, but he didn't look short of speed for once. And, you know, he looked like he's become a faster horse since last year. I think for him, I'd probably prefer a couple more hurdles in the last mile than we've got. But by the same token, I think his horse going forwards, he's had a run. And I quite like his chances of upsetting the jolly. But looking back, I mean, I know Keith said it was a case of an each way bet, you know, the solid one, Chitabello. But I think there's loads of horses in here that could finish in the frame. If you want to ask me what the most overpriced horse in the race, it's probably Somerville Roy. Okay, he's dropping in trip, but he loves this track, doesn't he? He's won a Supreme. He's run well in them staying races here. And he's a 14-1 shot, and he's better than some of those ahead of him in the betting. But I think, you know, two horses that can improve. One of them is obviously Goshen, but the other one is Song for Someone, and I just liked what he did at Ascot.
Excellent. I'm very glad you mentioned Somerville Boy there, because I was really intrigued to see him dropping back to this trip. And of course, you know, that Supreme is the best thing he's ever done, isn't it? So it may well be that this is, after all, his trip, but he's very, you know, capable at further as well. So it's fascinating to see him in there. Really looking forward to that race. Thank you very much indeed, gents. The final race at Cheltenham on Saturday we're going to look at on ITV is the 3:35, the Close Brothers Mares Handicap Hurdle over 2 miles, 4.5 furlongs, and yet again a wide open heat, Frank.
Yeah, and we're going to pay four places here as well, Bruce. At the moment, Indefatigable is 130 favourites. Mia Grace, 4-1. The White Mouse and Aggie With It are 92. Molly Ollie's Wishes, 8-1. Cross Gales Fame Game, 9-1, and we're 12-1 bar.
Quite a test for the commentator, some of these names. Yeah, that's great news. Four places, 10 runners. That's available at paddypower.com and also through the Racing Post app. Study form and place bets without leaving the app. It's Keith's turn to go first.
Yeah, and I'm going to defer to somebody else. Not a race I got my teeth into at all, really.
Okay, fair enough. Over to you then, Keels.
Oh, throwing in the towel that early, eh?
No harm in that.
As I had a look at this, it was Indefatigable one at the festival. But I thought I was quite underwhelmed by the way she ran at Kempton on a return. I think I'm going to take a chance on Cross Gales Fame Game. Only sixth at Wincanton on a return, and behind a couple of these, including the winner, the White Mouse. But on RPRs, that was just about as good as she's ever run. And it was on ground miles, miles quicker than she wants. I think with jockey booking, she's got Connor Brace taking off £3. She's about £7 better off with the White Mouse for just under 10 lengths. But the ground's going to be much more in her favour this time. She's entitled to come on for the run. Fergal O'Brien is obviously having a career season. I think he's already matched or beaten his previous best for any season. And his horses keep on running well. And I just think she'll run a race out of price.
Cross Gales Fame Game for Paul Keighley. Who for Frank Hickey?
Yeah, I'm just going to stick with the White Mouse. Look, Indefatigable obviously has really good course form last year. She was second to Dame the Company and then won the Martin Pipe. But a mark of 151 is going to be tough for her to defy. And it just lets a few of these get in off really light weights. And I just liked the way the White Mouse won at Wincanton. She had been off for 18 months. The small concern would be that, you know, the bounce factor, she's out again, what, five weeks or so later. That would be a small concern. But I thought she was very good value for a win at Wincanton. And £8 is very fair. And that was her third win from just 5 starts over hurdles. She fell at Newbury another day when she was still travelling well. It was too early to tell where she's going to finish. But if she doesn't bounce, I think she's got a right chance of following up here.
Thank you very much. Those are the Cheltenham thoughts of our three wise men. We're going to do Doncaster next.
This New Year's Day, Paddy Power want to make one lucky punter a millionaire. Opt in and back a winner in one of our weekly millionaire qualifier races to be in with a chance to scoop the 1 million. Pick one winner, win 1 million. Not a bad way to ring in the new year, eh? Beats the hootenanny and a dodgy curry anyway. To enter and to find out more, visit paddypower.com. Paddy Power.
T's and C's apply. Exclude shops. Selected markets only. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Bruce Millington, Paul Keighley, Keith Melrose and Paddy Powers, Frank the Tank Hickey. Let's look ahead to the three ITV4 races from Doncaster on Saturday. And we'll start with the 205. It's the Bet365 December Novices Chase. It's a grade two over 3 miles. There's an issue here because we've just seen the mighty Don run a good race at Cheltenham. He's still in this, but I guess we'd have to presume they're not going to send him up to Doncaster. So give us the prices as you've got them, Frank. I guess we'll have to just skirt around the mighty Don issue.
Yeah, all the ginger lines, even money favourite, of House Island and the Mighty Don are 4-1. Hurricane Harvey 9-2. Milanford 11-1.
Keels, are you happy to bet without the mighty Don as far as this race goes?
You cannot possibly see him running after that, can you?
Okay, so it's going to be four runners. Who do you like?
Of all the ginger lines, he's the obvious favourite. I don't think he's any superstar, and he'll do well to get anywhere near even money in any other grade two in his career. His form is okay. It's the best of what we've seen, but I don't mean that Exeter win from St. Bart's is anything special. Runner-up was rated only 125. I'm not entirely certain that House Island or Hurricane Harvey want quite as far as 3 miles, so I'll take a chance on the absolute rag, which is Milan Ford. Now, he's gone straight over fences from point to point and hasn't touched a hurdle in his life. He won his final point to point and he turned up a 66-1 shot. And he ran second at Exeter, finished second to Laird Avant, and the mighty Don was third, beating 8.5 lengths. This horse is obviously entitled to improve, having had just one run under rules, which is a reasonable level to start with, RPR of 132. And I think, you know, well, okay, he was a 66-1 shot then, but that's because nobody knew anything about him. We've already seen him beat the mighty Don. He'd be three times the price of that one when they run. Doesn't make much sense to me. He's entitled to improve. I'll take a chance.
Thank you, Keels. Frank?
Yeah, I definitely want to be taken on of all the gin joints. As Keels already alluded to, like he did run well in his two chase starts, but he's not as far clear as the betting would suggest. I have particularly Hurricane Harvey a lot closer to him. I think we'll be a bit different this evening. And just looking at Hurricane Harvey, I thought, like last year, he was quite a decent novice hurdler, obviously winning at Ludlow and winning Canton over 2 miles, 5.5 furlongs. I thought he ran really well in the EBF final, went third behind MacFabulous and Severano off a mark of 131. Now, MacFabulous obviously gone and won the Persian War and finished second in the long distance hurdle at Newbury. And is rated like £22 higher. And Severano's won both his chase starts. I think he's something like £18 higher. So I think there is the potential for Hurricane Harvey, you know, to be a 140, you know, mid-140s horse. And I kind of was impressed with the way he won at Utoxiner's chase debut when he beat Emmeton in Neck. Look, Emmeton's probably been a slightly disappointing since his novice hurdle career. But at the same time, I thought it was a decent effort. And just Wayne Canton on good ground over 2.5 was just too sharp for him. He got done for speed, really, by GA Law. He just could never get close to him at all. I just thought stepping up to 3 miles in the flat track, this would really suit him. And yeah, I think that he's a right chance of turning over of all the gin joints.
Okay, Keith, what's your film knowledge like? Which film produced the line of all the gin joints in all the world?
It's Casablanca, isn't it?
Well, in, I don't know who said it. Would that be Humphrey Bogart?
I believe so. Well, it was him or Bacall, wouldn't it? Was it Bacall?
I don't know. I'm not a great expert. But anyway, that's by the by. More importantly, who's going to win this?
Well, I'm looking forward to him getting pushed out tonight because I quite like him. I see Keels's point how he'll probably never be he'll never be a hot pot at grade two level again. But he deserves to be a hot pot for this one because I don't think it's very strong. And I like the way he's gone through that. That entry race, I think, is going to work out to be very good form. Probably shaped best of all, finishing third close up. One of 136 at Exeter. It was easy enough as well. I'm not going to be going out and backing him for the RSA or even the National Hunt Chase. But he's a big gangly sort. He'll keep improving in the long term. Could be a really smart handicapper next year. I just think this is his chance to win a race at this level.
Okay, another small field for the next at Donny. It's the 240. It's the Bet365 Summit Juvenile Hurdle over 2 miles and half a furlong. Frank, what's the latest betting and who do you fancy?
Yeah, Monmirals 4-6, Glorious Off 5-2, Cloud Thunder 8-1, along with Gold Desert and Mr. Sister 20-1. I just think it's very difficult to look beyond Monmiral. I thought he won well at Exeter. Paul Nicholls seems to suggest that he felt that the run was likely to be needed that day. So if he's going to improve on that, I think he'll be tough to beat. Glorious Off, obviously Garnier's got a really good bunch of juveniles, but Glorious Off is very disappointing, I thought, when he was beaten at Sedgefield. Gold Desert was in third behind him that day. He'd need to improve an awful lot from that, I think, to be winning here. And like Cloud Thunder's making his hurdles debut, you know, rated in the mid to high 70s on the flat. I just think it's a really weak race in Monmiral. If he's, you know, builds that extra win at all, he just won't be beaten.
You going with the five as well, Keith?
I'm not, but not because I don't like him particularly. I just think he's going to be a really good chaser next year. And I don't know how much you'll find as a hurdler in the short term. So I'm going to go with Gloria Zoff against him. He was really impressive at Sligo. Probably should have won at Sedgefield, and that's maybe a better race than it's getting credit for in terms of the rating that's on it at the moment. So I expect Monmiral to be, well, a stone better horse over fences in a year or two's time. But at Donny, in a relatively early season juvenile hurdle, I think there's a scope there to take him on with a nippier sort, Glorious Off. He's come off the flat from Charlie Hills. Yeah, I think the nippier sort might win the day here, but the war will be won by Monmiral.
Okay, excellent. And Kills, are you enjoying being back on the podcast? Kills, lovely.
Yeah, it's
been
it,
so
mate.
Long, hasn't it?
Yeah, I know, yeah. Yeah, keep being roped to do these other things, but there you go. Yeah, this just goes to show what a load of rank race planning is going on for years of these two meetings that we have juvenile hurdle triumph trials at both Doncaster and Cheltenham. Each race, I think, attracted about 12 or 13 runners, and 8 of them were declared in both. So surprise, surprise, one of them's got a very small field with a short price favourite. He'd probably win. I don't think the form was worth all that much. I think Cloud Thunder was a little bit better than Glorious Zoff on the flat. If I was going to chuck a 10 or anything, I'd probably do that, but not with any confidence. It's a waste of time being on TV, this race, really.
One thing I was going to say there, guys, do you know how you talked about Cheltenham and Doncaster clashing with juvenile stuff? Do we know why certain tracks always clash with each other? Well, not always clash with each other, but, you know, like Donny and Cheltenham have two weekends where they share in common, and Ascot and Haydock through the winter seem to share every big day with each other. Yeah. Does anybody know why that is?
I mean, there's the obvious geographical situation. One's in the south, one's in the north. I don't know whether I guess that's roughly it, I would have thought, Keith. I mean,
yeah, it's just weird that it's always, you know, it's always Ascot and Haydock. You know, I think it's four. I counted them ahead about four times. They are the two big meetings on a Saturday during the winter.
I always have Ludlow and Taunton down as racing on Thursdays quite a lot during the winter as well. I mean, yes. I suppose it complements one another geographically, and potentially as well, if it's going to be a bog at Haydock, you've got the option of either a soft ground or a fast ground option there. So, yeah, I get that. I don't quite know why, but I think Kielsey's point about the clash of the juveniles is true. Oh, yeah. And that's very peculiar, that. Right, the other race at Donny is the 3:15, and it's the Bet365 Handicap Chase. And the lads weren't particularly enthusiastic over the 2:40, but I think they'll probably fancy getting stuck into this one before we hear who they're tipping. Frank can give us Paddy Power's latest prices.
Yeah, we're paying four places here again. And we have joint favourites Jersey Bean and Bullmere, both at 7-2. Mountain 5-1. Give Me a Copper and Chilswell 7-1. Single farm payment 8-1. And we're 12-1 back.
I must say, one of the things I'd like most about betting on racing in recent years is the bookmaker's willingness to offer each way terms. Frank, last week I backed GA Law a 5th-3 in a 5-runner race. I mean, it was absolutely fantastic. He was never going to win, but he got third comfortably. That was really good, because even with the non-runner, you know, I assumed you'd relax to a 1/4-2, but well played for standing your ground there. Is it expensive, all these extra places?
They can do, yeah. Like, certain race makeups are more favourable to them than others. But, you know, like, this race suits it. Like, you know, it's not, you don't have a short price favourite and, you know, maybe a clear second favourite and then a lot of big price runners. It's very competitive. So this sort of race suits having four places, even though we only have the 10. But, yeah.
Good.
There's a bit of planning involved and it does cost. But I suppose, you know, they're all the offers you're trying to give to customers, you know.
Indeed. Good stuff. Okay, then, Keith, away you go. Who wins this?
There's only two horses I could really have on my mind, and I'll let Keels talk about Boldmere because he's partly responsible for this horse getting backed all weekend at 7-2. I think that he's at the price now that he deserves to be. Another one that I thought hasn't actually shortened up yet, but he should, is Give Me a Copper. He's used to running in much, much better races than this. He's been fourth in a Masters. He was fourth in a Whitbreds. He's won the Badger Ales last year in his reappearance. He's actually quite lightly raced, and therefore, well, not therefore, but goes well fresh. And he's only run once since then in a bog at Ascot around this time last year, so you can forgive that. He wasn't much bigger than 15-2 for the Beecher last week before he got pulled out, and I suspect that was because the ground was very testing. Comes to Donny now, presumably in the search of not a bog. And I've got two horses I'm interested in. I give them both a big chance. One's 7-2, one's 15-2. I'm going to put up the 15-2 shot.
Okay. Talking of the Beecher, Kills, did you enjoy the commentary on it last week?
Ah, it was mad, wasn't it?
It was brilliant. I loved it. I hate all this criticism of Mark Johnson. He's great. I love him. He's super.
Shout him out, becoming extra shouty. I mean, some of these commentaries get to the point of being absolutely ridiculous. And I thought, look, the quality of commentary throughout a race is probably better now than it ever has been. But some people just take it to ridiculous levels right at the end of it.
Oh, I loved it. I thought it was brilliant. Anyway, more importantly, who wins the 3:15 at Donny?
Boldmere. I still think he's a better 7-2. I've been watching him this season. He is, I'm convinced he wants the flat track. He's travelled well at Chepstow and Bangor the last two starts, but he wants a nice flat track like last year. He ran at this track last year. He absolutely bolted up, won 10 lengths, beat Bob Marler, who won next time out, and then finished third in the Kim Muir, only beating about 3 lengths. That's a cracking piece of form. Boldmere would have won again at Weatherby, another flat track. The Grade 2 Totem Novices Chase, he was 3 lengths clear when he fell at the last. Paddy Brennan has picked up a lovely spare ride. You couldn't be happier with a jockey booking, and I think he'll take the world of beating.
Do I take it you're on at much bigger prices than
7-2? Yeah, I'll put him up at 6s. I still think it's a better 7-2, though. I'll have to press up.
Okay, excellent. Thanks, Kills. And Frank, who do you like?
Yeah, I liked Boldmere as well. I thought, he needed the run last year. So while that Chepstow run, he was beaten, 20-odd lengths. You probably think, it was disappointing. He was obviously going to step forward first, but the form worked out relatively well as well, with Potterman getting touched off in the Badger Ales Trophy and some chaos winning as well. And I thought he would shape well at Bangor, where the ground probably would have been soft enough for him as well. But the return to Doncaster on, a bit of better ground, as Keel's already said, he was really impressive here last year. And he finds himself only, £9 higher. I think he'll take a bit of beating.
Great stuff. The boys all fancy Boldmere, but Keith also likes Give Me a Copper. Those are the TV tips done. Let's see what else the lads have sussed for the weekend.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Thank you very much for joining us for the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. It's Bruce Millington, Keith Melrose, Paul Keeley, and from Paddy Power, Frank Hickey. We've looked at all the TV action. Let's see what the boys have uncovered elsewhere on the Cheltenham and Donny undercards. And on the Saturday, we've also got Hereford, we've got Newcastle and Wolverhampton. And in Ireland, they're racing at Fairy House. Keels, what have you got for us? Don't give your nap away.
Sorry, but I've only got a couple at Cheltenham. In the opener, the 12:05, the Triumph Trial, I'm quite clean on just place laying Adagio. I think the form so far the juveniles are putting is very, very weak. Wouldn't surprise me if a few improved past him. Ellen Valley was actually quite impressive at Sandown last week. I was there. Obviously stays really well. And a couple of the horses that haven't run yet are also interesting, including Shake a Leg of Dan Skelton's, who was pretty decent on the flat. So I'm going to place lay Adagio. Suggest you have a couple of quid on Shake a Leg to make a winning debut. And then in the 1:15, it could get called a few names for this because he gets called a few names, but Sky Pirate, I've been waiting for this horse to drop down to 2 miles for absolutely ages. and Connections have finally bitten the bullet and done it. I mean, he won over 2 miles seven as a five-year-old and was seventh in the Kim Muir when he barely turned six. But he won every time he runs. I think he's won two times in his life out of 16 starts, but he's traded the odds on nine times out of the others, including the last five. And the last one was in the Paddy Power Chase last time, where he came there swinging at second last, went straight through it, and finished legless on the running. I'm double interested now that Tom Scudamore has been booked. You've got to remember, he teamed up with John Joe O'Neill with Cloth Cap and gave a horse that used to be held up a really aggressive front-running ride and left them all for dead. Just wonder whether Sky Pirate will do that as well. He's got 10 stone one. There's only one other front-runner in the race, and that's Gino Trowell, who's nearly 14 and normally cuts out halfway at this sort of level these days. I'd just be very interested to see how he goes. But in terms of pure talent, he's incredibly well handicapped off 1-3-4.
Okay, Keith or Frank, do you want to call Kiehl's any names?
Really looking forward to this one, because we watched it. We were talking about the Paddy Power last time Kiehl's and I were in the office, and Kiehl said it wants to go back to 2 miles, this horse. I said, are you mad? It's chicken hearted. And Kiehl's, you made a point about Weatherby, didn't you, Kiehl's? He said his stride shortened.
Yeah, his stride shortened really badly at Weatherby. And it should, you know, he was walking.
His head also went in the air, didn't it?
Sorry?
His head also went in the air.
Didn't go in the air at Cheltenham, though. Had it down all the way.
Okay, but I'm staying out of that race entirely. I'm just going to enjoy it one way or the other.
You can call Kiehl's names anyway. It doesn't have to be about Sky Pirate. Feel free. Okay, we've had Kiehl's other Saturday tips. Keith, what have you got for us?
Just the one, and you're not going to get a massive price about it, but Capgat the Lily has been aimed at the Mayor's final at Hereford, the 122. Venetia Williams aimed two at the race last year and won it with one of them. She's only, 2 to 1, 15 to 8, but I've looked through the rest of the field. She deserves to be that short, if not shorter. So, yeah, I'll put her up.
Okay, and Frank.
I'm absolutely disgusted with Kiehl's, but because he's stolen my thunder, because I was really keen on Sky Pirate, nearly for the exact same reasons. Like, Tom Scudamore booked. I thought there was a great chance he'd kick out in front and maybe try and do something similar as what Clawcap did. Like, I actually backed him in the Paddy Power, and I was like, oh my God, he's finally going to recoup all the money I've wasted on him. And he's obviously halved the second last fence, and not the stopping out of him. Look, he needs everything to go right and to win. But I just thought, the way he travels in his races, he's definitely worth exploring the 2 mile trip with him. And I just wouldn't be surprised if this was the making of him. And yeah, I think he's a right chance. And away from Cheltenham, I had one at Fairy House, 2:12. Off you go for Charles Burns. Bit of a slow burner over fences. If you go back to his hurdles career, he won a Ladbroke hurdle at Leopardstown off a mark of 143, peaked at a rating of 151. Was running a couple of okay races last year over fences. Was coming to give carefully selected race here over 2 miles five last season and fell at the last. Shaped much better then on his handicap debut at Cork last time on second at Chatham Street Lad, who's only about a 10 to 1 shot for the Caspian Caviar tomorrow. That was off mark of 138. He's gone up 2 pounds to 140. If he's anywhere near his peak hurdle sort of form, he should go very close. Just a couple I mentioned at Hereford as well. The 157, interested to see how Elixir de Nuit gets on over fences. Was a decent novice hurdler. Beat Itchy Feet in the grade 2. Beat Grand Sancy in the grade 1 Talbot hurdle. Was near the head of the Supreme Market before he met with a setback and missed the festival. Struggled last year in Group 2 and Group 1 companies, two runs. He's had a win up since. He's only 6 and he's up against the Patriot, and he gets a £5 penalty for him. It'd be interesting to see how he goes. He might make up into a decent handicap chaser this year. And just, I give another chance at thinking in the 2:32 for David Pipe. Yard is still in form, 25% strike rate the last 2 weeks. He was disappointing in the grade, but that was a very warm race after nearly 2 years off. Go back to his win over hurdles in France, and it would look like a mark of 127 is very fair based on that. I just wouldn't give up on him. I think he'll win a race. I'm hoping it might be tomorrow.
Okay, if you are interested in backing Sky Pirate in the 115 at Cheltenham, which Kiehl's and Frank are, and Keith certainly isn't, he's 5 to 1. Right then, naps time. Paul Keighley.
Yeah, I'm going to go Sky Pirate in the 115, all in.
Okay, good man. Keith?
I'll go for Good Boy Bobby, actually, in the big one.
Lovely, and that's in the 150 and Frank Hickey.
Very close to make it, Sky Pirate, but I'm going to go to Doncaster for the 130 3 mile Mayor's Handicap hurdle, and a horse called Wished was making her debut for Alistair Ralf the last day at Southall. It was just her second ever handicap. That was over 2.5. Held about the back, made nice ground at the turnout out of the back. Looked to be staying on, coming to the last. Looked like she was going to play a big part. Made an awful mess of the last. And she weakened out of it and finished 4.5 lengths fifth. I think if she jumped it cleanly, she would have gone very close. She gets to run off the same mark here. She was a point winner, so the step up to 3 miles could actually see her improve. I see one firm that priced her up 18-1. Be very, very interested in that sort of price. I think she's the right chance.
Okay, and that is Wished, W-H-E-S-H-T. Right, then, as I said at the start of the show, it's not a stellar Sunday. We don't mind that because we've been spoilt with so many good Sundays. They're racing at Carlisle, Southall and Lingfield. Nothing whatsoever over in Ireland. Let's see what the boys have got for us. We'll start with Frank Hickey.
Yeah, the only one I have is 2:30 Southall. Be one to kind of keep an eye on the market. Another theatre for Philip Kirby. Landed a bit of a touch around Christmas time 2 years ago at Catterick and followed up at Newcastle the following month off a market of 114 winning very easily in a small field handicap. Didn't run too bad in his chase debut last November when midfield behind Simply the Bets at Chepstow was quite poor in his two runs over fences in August, September, but goes back over hurdles off a mark of 114, which is the mark of one off at Newcastle nearly 2 years ago. And I just, if the money comes for this, I'd definitely be following it in.
Thank you very much. Keith Melrose.
Yeah, I've got a couple. I'll mention Southall quickly first. Messini Man has shaped quite well a few times in a very short chasing career so far and now drops in grade. And he's run well at the track before, which can be quite important. The fences there are pretty stiff. But the one I'm really interested in, and I've got half a suspicion you won't get much of a price, but Johnny Sofa runs in the 135 at Carlisle. Now, this horse has been, it's a very talented horse. It's been quite lightly raced in his career. I think he's obviously had his problems. Last year, the races he ran in included the rehearsal chase, the Roland Merrick, and one of the veterans races at Doncaster. Now he drops to a 0-140 at Carlisle. And as you might have inferred from the races he's running, he's been running over 3 miles, and he now drops back to 2.5. This horse isn't a plodder. I think 2.5 on testing ground would be just what he wants. And I think he could win this by, I'm very confident on him, actually. I'm expecting to see a short price.
Nice one. Thank you very much, Keith. Keels, anything for Sunday?
Yeah, there's only one I'm really interested in. In the 2:40 at Carlisle, a horse called Grand Morning. He needs to improve a fair bit on the chase form so far, but he ran his best run last time on the softest ground he's encountered over fences. I don't think the likely front two in the market, Lockdurk Jewel and Looks Now Like Brian, want the ground as heavy as it's going to be, whereas he does. He's won three times on heavy in bumpers and over hurdles. And he's sneaked in off a mark much lower than his hurdles rating too.
Thank you very much. Now, as you touched upon there, Kills, you went racing last Saturday at Sandown. What was it like?
Yeah, it was good. It was well controlled. We all had to stay downstairs. We weren't allowed to move the other side of the parade ring or go too far. And you had to wear masks all times, inside and out. There was loads of marshals there to politely remind you to do so, unless you were eating or drinking. No drink allowed unless you had something to eat, but it wasn't that much of a big deal. Quite enjoyed it. A bit reasonable atmosphere, given the crowd wasn't massive. Yeah, I'd go again like that.
Yeah? Yeah. Even the lack of alcohol?
Lack of alcohol. Made up for it later, obviously. But, on the day, it's all right. It's only 3 hours, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Good. Well, it's nice to be back. Weekend plans, gentlemen. Keith, what have you got on?
Absolutely. I'm in tier three, Bruce.
God. And, I mean, if Ireland's lockdown would be something along the lines of tier five, I think, wouldn't it, Frank? There's not a lot you guys can do, is there?
They were lifted there last week, so we can do a little bit. So,
are you allowed to do? You're allowed to open the window for 10 minutes, are you?
it's getting crazy, but I don't know how long further they'll get away with lockdown. I think there'll be a bit of dissent if that happens again after Christmas, would be my idea. But we're not too bad. We can go to the shops and, you know, go shopping, and we can't go to the pub. I barely had a drink this year. I think I've had two beers all year. So
what? I'm really?
Look, Yeah, so I'm looking forward.
You had more than that with me at Leopardstown in February, January.
I only had two beers that day. That's all I've had.
And they were the two beers. Someone who's had slightly more than two beers is Kiehl's. What are you going to, I mean, you're in tier two, aren't you?
In tier two. I fear we're heading for tier three, though. So I may go out and have a meal somewhere, leave the meal on the side and sink a few pints. That would be the plan. The other thing is, looking ahead towards Christmas, I think Kempton comes under Spellform, which has seen a big rise. I'd be very surprised, if not disappointed, that will end up in Tier 3 for Boxing Day.
Oh, blimey. Well, let's hope they get the vaccines into us. Absolutely. And we can get going and it's all good again. But, it's difficult times, but we've got fantastic racing on the box. So hopefully the lads have been able to mark your card and we have a few winners. As always, please do bet safely. And as always, please do join the gang on Monday to review it. And we're back next Friday looking ahead to a fantastic card at Ascot, which features, among other things, the Long Walk. Have a great weekend and we'll see you next week.